You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
That's right. Bart's off today, so all eyes on me. Han Solo with you today on Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN. Join the conversation at 800-919-3776. So far, talked a little Knicks, talked some March Madness, and now let's talk some football, shall we? The Jets, what Joe Douglas has done in the second week of free agency is add pieces. And Bart has fought with me all week, but I'm telling you, and I have been as optimistic as I possibly, like last year, forget, I felt, I was in, as Dave Gettleman once said, full bloom love. I was. The honeymoon was the best time. Hard Knocks, all of that. I just was so smitten with everything that the Jets were showing me, with Aaron Rodgers just looking so cool and confident and under control and just sticking to football with everything he was talking about and his mannerisms, personality. All of it. I was all in. Garrett Wilson, Sauce, all these dudes. I'm like, yeah, I love this team. Then four plays in, the reality set in that, hey, by the way, you're the Jets. You're a Jets fan. You're not supposed to be happy. Lucy pulls the football away again, Charlie Brown. Flat on my back once again. That's the reality of a Jets fan. So as you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So this offseason, it's, okay, get Aaron healthy, make some, you know, moves for the roster that I can look at and tangibly say, okay, this team is going to be better, and if Rodgers can stay healthy, that'll be great. So moves were made. And while I want to acknowledge, like everybody else has, that Joe Douglas has done well with the moves that he's made, adding pieces that on paper you look and say, yeah, that makes sense. The offensive line being rebuilt, adding, I mean, Tyron Smith, I mean, what a great addition that is on paper. Left tackle, one of the great left tackles of all time. Adding Mike Williams, big target, wide receiver, supporting Garrett Wilson. Offensive line, as I mentioned, the other pieces there as well, Simpson. But I can't, and Morgan Moses. I can't help, though, but now have that skepticism. Again, fool me twice, shame on me. The skepticism of what's the thing that can really stop the Jets this year? It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's not Miami's offense. It's not the Ravens. It's not the Bills. What can stop the Jets this year? What is the thing that is the greatest opponent of the Jets this coming season? It's themselves. You have this many players with injury history and age. Those are factors that become a gamble. Look, when you have a small window to win, which they do with a 40-year-old quarterback, it's reality. It's not hate. It's reality. They know it. Small window. Got to win now. You got to take some chances. You got to take some risks. That's reality. And I understand it. So I don't have a problem. I don't begrudge the moves. I'm not saying that was stupid. No, these weren't dumb moves. These were the right moves. But it doesn't make them moves that you can now, in pen, say the Jets are going to make the playoffs. The Jets are going to be a contender. You can't. I can write it in pencil so that by week four I can erase it. When, again, by four, maybe it's four plays or four games. One or the other, reality does tend to set in with this team. Take you back to the Brett Favre year. They looked like they were the best team in the league with Brett Favre. And then he got hurt because that's what happens. You understand? Like, these are the things that hit you. Now, somehow, some way, the curse has to be broken. And I thought Rodgers was strong enough as a personality, as a talent, to break it. It sure felt like it. But even he couldn't handle it. Even he succumbed to the Jet thing, the Jet reality, of, you know, cut block missed, and he steps back and crumples down underneath Leonard Floyd, and the whole season, his pin was taken out. Whole season. That's reality that only Jets fans understand. So when I say to Bart that I love on paper the additions, my trepidation is real and it's fair. And it is, health is the greatest concern. And history suggests that when you bring in multiple players, like you could do one. Like, again, the Rams, they went and got Odell. And they're like, yeah, we know he's coming off injury. But if he can just give us a little something, we're not relying on him, but he could be special. And what did he do? He gave them exactly what they were hoping for. And then, of course, he got hurt in the Super Bowl. But still, it doesn't matter. He got them there. He helped them. He was a part of it. But they weren't relying on him. This is different. You're relying on multiple players. Some coming off injury. Some who have had a history of injury. That's a concern. Even Morgan Moses. Torn pec. You can tell me all you want. Oh, he'll be fine. Be ready for camp. You know, it's a torn pec. You know, Bart tells me it's not a big deal. It's still an injury. It's still something. That's all I'm saying. So the question becomes, right out of the gate, are the Jets, on paper, a Super Bowl contender? Because some experts are starting to say that about them. Some experts are saying the Jets are boom or bust. And I think that's the best way to describe the potential of this team. They are boom or bust. If they all stay healthy, which is possible, they could be a great team. If they all just happen to have that year where Mike Williams comes off an ACL, and despite the MetLife turf that everybody's afraid of, it's fine. And he's an impact player that even unlocks more of what Garrett Wilson can do. Because let's not forget, Garrett Wilson, with some of the worst quarterback play we've seen in decades, maybe even in franchise history, which is saying a lot, still had 1,000-yard receiving years in his first two seasons. That blows your mind. So if you add a Mike Williams who can balance the field a little bit, take some pressure off, and now Garrett can run his routes like a surgeon and get you, what, can you get 1,500? Like, what more can you get out of him? With Aaron Rodgers healthy, you crazy? He could be amazing. Like, what are you getting? And that offensive line on paper, what could it do to keep him upright? But also Breece Hall. And how talented he is. Let's not forget, when you have receivers you got to account for, how do you account for Breece Hall too? So there's so much there to look at and think, this could be special. But what's the one thing that you keep falling back on that I can't let go of? The injury history suggests they don't go away. Nobody ever says, hey, whatever happened to that bad knee? That bad knee doesn't get better to a point where you forget about it. The bad knee is something you manage. So, yes, they're going to still have to get some more depth. Maybe they go to the draft to do it, offensive line. There's some talk that maybe they go to the tight end. I mean, the kid Bowers from Georgia, everybody thinks he's going to be a stud. Do they go there and add another skill player that can be a plug-and-play, immediate impact kind of tight end? Do you do that? Or do you say, no, no, no. If we can get another left tackle, even if it's a project, we got to do it. Even if it's a project, you got to do it. And so we got to watch now what happens in the draft. But I don't think it's hate to say what I'm saying. I don't think I'm like ripping on the – I'm a Jets fan, but I'm a realist. And I see it from that perspective, and I'm wondering if I'm the only one. Because when I start hearing this talk with the Jets, you know, get up, first take, all of our NFL experts that I'm friends with, that I know and respect at ESPN, people I've worked with closely – and I start hearing them discuss, you know, what they've built. You know, this team could be a contender. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got the guy. He's the dude, as Stephen A. calls him, the bad man. And now you got an offensive line. You got one of the best left tackles to ever do it. Like, you have all that stuff now built in. All you're asking for from the football gods is to give you one healthy year. Just one. Just give me one healthy year. And it could be special. That's what makes it boom or bust. High risk, high reward moves by Joe Douglas. So what are they in your eyes? Are they a contender, or is this just typically boom or bust. Are you feeling like I'm feeling? 800-919-3776. All right, so that's it on the Jets side of things. But what do the players think? Like, what does Tyron Smith think about moving to the Jets and a place that, look, again, as a realist, this has not been a place that people think about going to because that's what they do. They win. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Kansas City now. There's certain franchises that you just go to because of the history of winning. You want to be part of that. There's a tradition. Jets have still been trying to build that, but the last couple of years, as you've seen, it's been nothing but fumbles left and right. Same old Jets stuff. Tyron Smith wants to help change that.
No, this is definitely a huge change for me, especially being in Dallas for a while. And, you know, everybody knows how the business goes. And, you know, sometimes you got to leave. I'm just happy I'm going to be going to a team like the Jets, to help out any way I can to help them, you know, to produce a winning culture.
Produce a winning culture. See, notice how he said, I'm not coming to a place that has one. I'm trying to help them build one. And that's not easy to do. More importantly, as I talked about, it's a guy that has an injury history as well. When he has played early in his career, he was an Ironman and he was tough. Then the injury started kicking in because that's what happens. It's a war of attrition with your body. He played 13 games last year, so after missing a ton of games for a couple of seasons, got healthy again last year. So how does he feel now?
Physically, I feel great coming off the season last year with no injury. I could go full tilt for off season. And honestly, you know, wherever we decide to come up with a program for here, and in New York, that's what we decide. But it's not going to be always to be the same. So you know, we'll sit down and come up with a plan for ourselves. What's best for the, you know, for me and the team.
All right, now you know what that's saying. Come up with a plan. This is not somebody that talked about how he expects to have a season where he could play the whole year. He's already letting you know that there's going to be some, to use an NBA phrase, load management here, which is to be expected. Of course, he's over 30 and he's been through some injuries, which makes it even more important to make sure that this team has a capable backup left tackle. And as I said, you could draft one that can become sort of a pupil that you can develop, but can you rely on a developing draft pick, no matter how talented he is, if he's got to miss time, miss snaps? He certainly isn't going to practice. You already hear that. He's not going to practice. So what do you do? Now, you know, I've always brought up David Bakhtiari's name because he's friends with Rodgers. He's available. He's another guy that was an all-pro left tackle. He's later in his career, and he has been banged up. But once again, you're not asking him to be a full-time guy. You're asking him to kind of fill in the blanks. If you can get him for cheap, it's an obvious move to make. Obvious move to make. So, but they have to do something to make sure, because it does sound like they're going to manage Tyron Smith. How much he can play, how much he will practice, how available he will be. You heard him say it. So when I tell you that I have that little bit of trepidation, now you understand where I'm coming from. 800-919-3776. Lots of calls to get to. Let's continue them with you. Again, March Madness, the Knicks, the Ohtani stuff, now the Jets stuff as well. Full buffet, baby. Let's see. Where should we go next? How about Esto in Brooklyn? Esto.
Hey, what's going on, hon?
What's happening?
Pleasure to be on. Great show. So, a lot of things to talk about, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Definitely want to hop in and charge the NCAA thing. Big UConn fan. I'm making my way down to the Barclays.
Oh, there you go.
Hyped up right now. We're going to go back-to-back on them. I'm surprised the other guy, the Connecticut quarter, didn't say anything. So yeah, who you got winning it all, huh?
Didn't bring that up, but yeah, again, I think UConn's definitely a favorite to do it. You could see how they were. When they won the Big East tournament,
yep.
There was like you could tell with Danny and that group, yep, that it was sort of like a mission that they were on because they didn't win it definitely like the year before. Felt like they flipped the switch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to highlight the transfer protocol because we got my man, Killer Cam Spencer,
yep,
who came from, I think, Rutgers. The guy, like the portal, I like it.
It gives
the athletes flexibility. So I enjoy that. Teams got to adapt. So I'm all for the portal. And I hear what you're saying, like those days, you know, kind of be gone and stuff. But, you know, I remember a few weeks ago, you and Bart was out here talking about how, what's his name, LeBron, celebrating the 40K. Who cares about that? What was celebrating was that he got the record. You know, that's what mattered. because if you look at it, he wouldn't have been at that number if he had gone to college, right? Think about LeBron in college. I mean, that guy would have been awesome. So I'm okay with the one and done in the future stuff. I feel like, you know, Luol Cinder, you know, our guy Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, New York product. He would have, imagine his numbers. He would have, you know, if he Kareem been, played, you know, into the 40,000.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's what everybody sure. If Kareem, remember, Kareem did 4 years, like he did 4 years at UCLA. And he didn't play, and he couldn't play as a freshman because back then they didn't let freshmen play varsity. Like, it's unbelievable, the rule, right? If you think about it now, it makes no sense. But back then, they didn't let freshmen play on the varsity. So he played 3 years at UCLA and then went into the NBA as a grown-ass man. And so you're right. And he still was the all-time scorer. So you're right. If he was a one-and-done or if he went right to the NBA, how many points would he have scored? Like, we have no idea. That's the problem. The eras and rules and things change. The way we look at the game change and all that stuff. So, you know, it's hard to compare stuff like that. Let's go to Dave in the car. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, Han? Making a lot of great points today about the Jets. But what I wanted to focus on, and maybe I'm wrong, I can't believe this Ohtani thing.
Yeah.
$4.5 million gets moved. Now they don't want to show the ESPN interview. They're trying to pull that so it's never seen again, which in this world it's hard to do with screen recording. This is the biggest thing in sports since the Michael Jordan gambling thing. And it's, from my personal opinion, Michael didn't retire. It was a suspension. But this is way too big. And if baseball finds a way to sweep this under a rug, you can't shake a finger at an NFL player, anybody in any sport now, making a bet on a legal gambling app.
Right. I mean, and that's what happened to Calvin Ridley and several other players, right? Like the kid in Detroit, they all got suspended because they were making bets because you're in the facility. They were making bets on college football, and they were in the facility, and you're not allowed to do it when you're in the facility. And so they ended up getting suspended for it, which is the NFL has to overreact so this doesn't become an issue for them. But for baseball, he's not even betting on the sport. He's betting on other things. But I think a lot of people wonder – Was this guy placing bets for Ohtani? Because who's taking that much credit? Like, seriously, who's building up that much credit for just some guy? Like, there's a lot of questions here. A lot of questions. The Jordan conspiracy thing is always one that's been out there, but it's been denied many, many times. Ken in Connecticut. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, my main point is not Ohtani, but talking about the Jets right now, you said nothing but fumbles. Like, that was genius. That's
thank God somebody picked up on that.
No, but about Ohtani, just looking at it from a realistic point of view for a second, like, all right, so you and your interpreter are boys. You've been together for years. If your friend is that passionate about something, especially sports betting, the odds of them not asking your opinion on something or you being aware of it are so slim. At least to me, it's just completely unrealistic.
He said the first time he found out about it was when the interpreter addressed the Dodgers about it to apologize, the players, to apologize and to talk about how he has an addiction and all this stuff. And he did this whole thing. And they're claiming Ohtani was shocked at the meeting when he heard this, was caught off guard.
I mean, this is also the same camp that, you know, switches stories on a dime with Major League Baseball, yeah. as otherwise, right?
Yeah. No, there's a lot of holes in this story, man. Like, Ken, this isn't going to go away, clearly. I mean, this ain't going away. They're going to try to make it go away. But imagine this at the start of the baseball season. Rob Manfred, like, think about the things he's had to deal with that have overshadowed his sport when they're just trying to, like, hey, it's opening day, everybody. The sun is shining. It's springtime. And it's like, yeah. What about this gambling problem you got? Like, no, you know, and then you start the year in Korea. So it's 6 a.m. when we're watching baseball. Like, what are we doing? It's really, once again, fumbling through this whole thing. Let's continue with the calls. 800-919-3776. Manny in Flushing. What's up, Manny?
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Good.
good. Earlier today, you mentioned about, you know, the draft situation. You're absolutely right. I should draft, you draft before you go straight to the pros, because I think I remember, I think I've done my research. I think Will Chamberlain was one of them. I think it was 55 that he was originally drafted by the Philadelphia Warriors, so we'd be Golden State Warriors, yeah, and drafted 4 years later. And then Larry Bird did that in 78.
Larry Bird did it as well. He went back to Indiana State, and the Celtics had a mm-hmm. year to negotiate with him to get him to sign, or else he would have gone back into the draft. I love that. Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, I won't be surprised it will happen again, because I think this one and done era, I think it's coming to an end. I mean, I thought it was great in the 2010s, but I think, I mean, late 2000s, but I think it began expanding in the 2010s. But I think it's really hurting college basketball, because we don't really have those dominant teams. I mean, you could say the last dominant team was that Florida teams in the late 2000s, and lesser degree, the Villanovas in the late 2010s.
It is just a different world. It has changed, and I think the money that is now in the sport, in college basketball, I do think allows the NBA to visit a place where teams can draft a guy, have his rights, and the player can decide whether he wants to go or wants to stay in college. And if he wants to stay in college, you have his rights for the year. And he could re-enter the draft if you don't negotiate a deal with him. I think it's as simple as that. If he doesn't want to sign with you. And I do think there's something about that that, for me, puts the onus on the franchises to be better. I've always complained about the draft. I've had this, I had a whole thing on Get Up that, you know, went viral, and people were like telling me I'm an idiot, but I think the draft is antiquated, and I think it also ruins players more than it helps them. I think the NFL should do this too. Like Caleb Williams, if he doesn't want to go to the Bears, he should be able to say, I'm going to stay in college another year. I don't want to go there. I'll stay in college. And now you can. Like when Eli did it, you know, like nobody, like he's like, oh, what are you going to go back to college? Okay, so you're going to turn down all this money. But when you're a guy like Caleb Williams, you know, if I go back to USC, there's tons of money waiting for me. I don't have to play for you. His dad kind of suggested it, and everybody got mad at the dad. Why? If I don't like the organization and like what you do, why would I want to go play for you? Because you drafted my rights? So fine. You have a year. You have a year to figure it out. I'm going back to school. You own my rights for a year. We could talk. You got to convince me that this is the best place for me, because what I see and how things went with, you know, whatever it is, you could come up with your reasons why. I don't want to go there. And I think it would make things a little bit better. It'd be a lot harder to draft. There'd be a lot more pressure on teams to make sure that they got their house in order, but it would certainly change up stuff. I just think we have ruined more players by putting them in bad situations. NBA, there's a ton of talented players who have gone to bad teams because they're highly drafted, they're not developed properly, and then they end up falling off. They do. They end up falling off. I know. I'm crazy. I've been told this. People think I'm nuts. But I've watched it long enough to know that the current system, just because it's easy to do, just because I create a lottery system, which means teams are tanking, they tried to fix that by adding more fake playoff games. Like, why not make sure that we're sending our best young talent to the best situations for them? Just do that. And maybe you'll get more out of them. And on top of it, if they don't want to go right away, because, you know, some guys are immature 19-year-olds who are being drafted. Stay in school. I'm going to draft you, but we're not bringing you in this year. I want you to stay in school. And I'll tell you what, we're gonna put you with, you know, a program that we're affiliated with. You know, we kind of know this coach. You know, you can go into the portal. You go there. They're going to coach you up, and then we'll get you ready. And then by next summer, you'll be with us. You know, there's like stuff like that. I just think it's better for the players. I still have your rights. You're still getting money. Nobody's losing money. And if you're a fan of, like, whatever team it is, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies just drafted somebody and they just transferred to, you know, I don't know, Indiana. Well, guess how many Grizzlies fans suddenly are watching a lot of Indiana basketball? I think it actually can work. I know it's genius. You just don't want to admit it. It's hard for you to understand how easy it could be to put something like this together but it would change a lot of things. And a lot of owners probably don't want this because it takes all the control out of their hands. They still have control, but it takes a lot of the control out of their hands. And they don't want that. But in reality, it's better for the sport. All right, 800-919-3776. I love it, by the way. You guys are stepping up. This is great. No bar today, so Han Solo. And I love talking to you. This is allows us to just have these conversations, all the different headlines we've got going on right now. Baylor is absolutely smoking Colgate, about to end the first half. It's 52-32 in a first round of the West region. So we'll give you some updates on the scores and everything else. Audio files coming up next, so stay with us. It is Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Coming into the offseason, the Jets had a lot of holes and plenty of questions of how to fill them. Earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, guy said that with the way Joe Douglas has attacked free agency, it's left the draft pretty much wide open.
We're sitting there at 10, and if Mel's telling you he's the sixth best player on his board, you get a chance to take him at 10. That's great. I mean, there's great value there. There's also, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some thought, maybe we trade back.
There's so many ways that the Jets could go that you'd say it's what they needed. Bowers, what they needed. Another wide receiver, if one of those three happens to somehow be available, it's what they needed. Offensive lineman, it's what they needed. Trade back and get another pick or two, it's what they needed. There's no wrong way if you're Joe Douglas.
No, there absolutely isn't, which is, I think, what you want to do when you get to the draft, because you don't want to just deal, you don't have to draft for need. You don't want to be forced to make a pick that could potentially be a reach.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Bart off today, so Han Solo with you. Tournament update here. Second half, Northwestern and FAU. It is a 8-9 game. Florida Atlantic is the 8th seed, and Northwestern with a 30-27 lead. Halftime of a 3 versus 14 seed game is Baylor is the 3 seed, Colgate 14 seed, 54-34 Baylor. Games coming up a little bit later on today include UAB, San Diego State, Western Kentucky and Marquette, and then UConn will get them a little bit later on before we headed off to the K Show. But right now with you, I have your calls at 800-919-3776 with Tony Asher, Merv, Javier, Tony also. All you guys, will get to you. But right now, you know what time it is. It's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
I think one of my favorite things about when Bart's not here is just because Dino gets to do audio files and the little extra something-something he puts into it. Always entertaining.
We're in the fourth quarter in the women's tournament of the Ohio State Maine game I was telling you about.
Yes.
They're up 23, still full court pressing.
Full court press in the first round of the NCAA.
A 2-15 game.
A 2 versus 15. And we're full court pressing. I will predict a brawl at some point before that game's over.
I don't think Maine has that in them.
You know, you think Maine's just like happy to be here?
Yeah, I think so.
What is Maine? Is that does America East exist anymore? What is that conference now? Is it or the CAA?
I think America East, something like that.
I only know Maine as Hockey East, but obviously that's not them.
It's the only thing they kind of succeed at.
They're pretty good at basketball too up there. Vermont's really good at basketball, apparently, up in that conference regional area. Wow, full court pressing up 20, fourth quarter of the first round of a 2 versus 15. Definitely should be a brawl. Post game should be interesting if you're the main coach. But like, what do you do? Is this like, you know, getting my team ready for the big battles? We're going to set the tone early.
And the size difference is just, you know, Ohio State.
40 minutes of hell, right? Like, whatever. All right, how about we talk some baseball, shall we? Haven't spent enough time on baseball, although the Ohtani stuff really has been the most dominant part of this stuff. Jeff Passan was on McAfee yesterday, had a lot of interesting things to say. But the most interesting thing that I thought that he talked about was how, look, right now, federal investigation is not involving Ohtani or baseball. But it doesn't mean that there won't be a lot of people that there will be inquiries on a lot of things because there needs to be some facts that are gotten here, some information that is received, and Passan is expecting a lot of investigating into this whole situation.
This is going to be something that sticks around for a while now because we have multiple investigations going on at the same time. You've got the federal investigation that's looking into this illegal bookmaker that goes back for a while. You're going to have potentially, if charges are pressed, an investigation into Ipe Mitsuhara's conduct. On top of that, you're going to have an MLB investigation as well. And so there are going to be a lot of people looking into this, and the fact, you know, there's a lot of like, yeah, of course the league is going to sweep this under the rug. That's what they do. It's in their best benefit to do so. There's one issue with that. The FBI is not going to sweep this under the rug. Like, when federal authorities are involved in looking at a crime, they're not looking at this like Shohei Ohtani because he's the best baseball player on earth warrants preferential treatment. They're looking at this like, there were crimes that were committed, and our duty is to figure out who was involved and what their parts were.
And they know it is a huge story that the media will be paying attention to. And whenever you get those two things combined, you're going to get the best interest of the federal government to do as much investigating as possible. So, yes, I'm with Passan. Like, this is not something that will quietly go away. This is going to hang over the sport for a while, and there needs to be answers at some point so that it can go away. It's not, I mean, not the way you want to start a season. Not with a guy that, in Shohei Ohtani, like, the argument was made last year, this is your new face of the league. One of the most famous players the sport has in the world, if not the most famous. Dangerous. Meanwhile, the Mets don't expect to be too dangerous this year. They have changed their approach when it comes to building a team and now trying to do it through building up the farm system. But it doesn't mean that you don't spend when there's, you know, a smart contract out there to spend on. They need a bat. They need to get more offense. And so they signed J.D. Martinez to a one-year deal for about $12 million, which is good. J.D. Martinez is still a very good hitter. And so this is, again, still reporting. Nothing has been official yet as far as I could see. So what does Pete Alonso think of all this? Because this does give you another a strong hitter to put in the lineup with Alonso. And it doesn't really cost him a lot either.
JD's such a talented player. I mean, how he's performed throughout his whole career. It's, I mean, he's a... just an unbelievable player. I mean, what he's able to bring every single day, consistently year in and year out, like he's a stud, and he's going to lengthen our lineup. He's going to be a huge part in our success this year. I mean, obviously all the accolades, he's a world champion, silver slugger, like he's going to help us out a ton. So I'm really excited, and huge shout out to David and Steve. This signing is really, really big for us, and it's JD is going to be a huge part in this year.
David and Steve being, of course, David Stearns and Steve Cohen. Now, Martina, I love him because he's a student of the game. Like, these are the kind of guys you love having around because they're never satisfied. You talk about somebody maniacal about his swing. Now, he did not play well for the Red Sox in 22, but with the Dodgers last year, he's very good. You know, 33 home runs, over 100 RBI. You know, played 113 games. You know, all that stuff is important. 36 years old, yes. But still, he is somebody that can help the Mets be at least better than what's expected offensively. Because, you know, right now the Mets are still a team that is not expected to win more than 80-something games. But what an impact he can have. But it just also shows you that Cohen's aware that, okay, we can't put out a middling product here. And if we can get a good player for a reasonable price and not get caught into a long-term deal, they can do it. And they did that here. So that's a good sign there. Meanwhile, speaking of sign, for Pete Alonso, you know, there's still, as Cohen said, he's going to have to do what Aaron Judge did, what others did. It's a prove-it year. Have a great year and give us, you know, like basically give us no other choice than to give you the contract you think you deserve. But they're not going to do it now. But that doesn't mean for Alonso, he's not looking at the Mets and thinking they're not trying to win.
We're always trying to win games. I mean, we're always competing. We're always trying to win. We're always going for it. So that's, I mean, it's a huge message to the guys in the clubhouse. And I'm really excited to get him here. And, I mean, again, I'm stoked. I mean, I got a chance to talk with him last year in Seattle. I mean, the guy is just like his IQ at the dish is through the roof. I mean, he's one of those guys that I consider to be like a hitting savant, and not only his talent and how he's going to produce on the field, but I think what he brings for preparedness, how he attacks opposing pitchers. I think he's going to impact from a information standpoint and kind of just impacting guys, just getting a look on inside and how he tries to dissect the attack plan and tries to beat the guy on the mound. So, I mean, he prepares well. He's a worker. I know that. I've seen it just for a couple days, but I know that guys played with him. They speak nothing, but they have nothing but high regard for him. So I'm really excited.
You see Alonso talk about it. I've been a huge fan of Martinez for years because of what he just talked about. Student of the game, maniacal about his swing, always trying to adjust, always trying to get better, trying to get that edge. Great teammate. There's just so many things to like about him. So for the Mets, it's a no-brainer. It's a great addition to the team. I don't know how much impact it's going to have on winning for them. I really don't. It certainly should help Alonso. And you get a guy that, if he has a good season and it allows Alonso now, like it protects him a little bit in the lineup, that can allow Alonso to have a great year, and that's a way to get him paid. So for the Mets, it's a good move, and it's also one that could work out for Pete Alonso. Meanwhile, as you know, we get ready for the baseball season. How fired up are you for baseball? Like, if you're a Mets fan, you understand what the reality of this coming year is going to be. Are you less fired up for the year than you were maybe last year? Now, the Edwin Diaz injury last year really would put a damper on everything at the very start. You never got a chance to get to opening day without already feeling like you were felt sick, just like the Jets fans felt sick because of Rodgers. But is there any ennui? You know, if you're a Yankees fan, there's that trepidation as well. Gerrit Cole and the elbow. And oh no. You know, and can Judge stay healthy? And can we compete? You know, the Yankees still having injury issues. Is this team good enough? Can we get back to the days where you just felt every year you went into the season saying, not, you know, can we make the playoffs? It was always, how do we win a championship? That always was the thing with the Yankees. It also, for many years, over the last 20, was something for the Red Sox. But for the Boston Red Sox, I mean, you're talking about last place finishes in the last 2 years. This year, still, not a lot of excitement and anticipation around them. And then I saw this report. NBC in Boston, right, the local affiliate, they did a whole man on the street thing getting ready for opening day about the excitement. Remember, Red Sox fans are rabid, you know? Like, you know the whole story. We're in New York. We get it. Red Sox fans are incredibly rabid. Like, you always felt like before the Patriots became the Patriots, the Boston Red Sox, the city lived and died with them. Even when the Celtics were winning championships, it still was The Red Sox, everything mattered. Your mood and everything else was all about what the Red Sox were doing. How much do people care about the Red Sox these days after consecutive losing seasons and just, you know, the best? I think that since they won the World Series in 2018, they made the playoffs once, lost in the ALCS. One time since 2018, they've made the playoffs. So listen to this report in Boston asking people how excited they are about the Red Sox.
How many current players can you name on the Red Sox?
10.
Why? None.
Current? Danvers? That's it.
Damn, I'm blanking right now. It's the camera.
When I was a kid, it was, you know, must-see TV when Pedro Martinez was pitching.
Usually other years, like, I kind of hear about it or, like, people are talking about it. But this year, I didn't even know that they were, like, starting. I had no idea.
I had no idea that they were starting. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. How do we feel in New York about it? Yankees, Mets, are you fired up for it? Are you ready for it? Are you better than Boston? Let me hear from you. 800-919-3776. All right, that's Audio Files. Again, we'll get back to your calls. We have more to get to. Back on the Knicks and what we saw from the road trip, what lies ahead for them as they get closer to trying to clinch a playoff spot. And what spot would it be? And obviously, more importantly, just to get healthy. We'll keep you up on what's happening in March Madness as well. Any upsets today, we'll let you know. Plenty of calls to get to and more. Stay with us. Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
Discover BetMGM, the sports betting app New Yorkers turn to for nonstop buzzer-beating action all season long. Take the hard-hitting excitement of March matchups to the next level with the lion's share of promotions and betting options, whether you're cheering courtside or from the comfort of your couch. BetMGM keeps the adrenaline pumping with every dunk, three-pointer, and buzzer beater. Join the excitement now with BetMGM. Plus, every time you make a wager, you can earn BetMGM reward points, which means you can turn the convenience of online betting into real-world rewards at one of MGM's signature resorts and more. BetMGM and GameSense reminds you to play responsibly. Download the app, the BetMGM app today, and enjoy March matchups like never before. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 years or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we got to discuss this. So I like to get called in this too. So Ohio State, this is women's, the women's tournament right now is just on ESPN. Ohio State is a 2 seed. They come away with an 80-57 win over 15th seed Maine. Right, 80-57. Now, 2 versus 15, you expect it's, you know, not going to be close. So they get a 23-point win. But the story is, and you heard Dino talking about it earlier, and I had to turn it on myself to see it. Like, there should have been a brawl at the end of this game. Because, explain it, Dino. So their coach is Ken McGuff, which all I got to tell you is, Ken McGuff.
That's tough. Dog. Yeah.
So they have been, this is what they do defensively. He's a big, like, full court press defense. It's just been their thing, right? That they did it last year in the tournament. It was a headlines in the tournament last year as well. But I mean, they were up by, was it 30 at one point?
It was always in the 20s.
Okay.
And there was like 8 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
And they're still full court pressing.
And full court pressing, you know, like late in the game, he didn't pull the starters till what? Like 2 minutes to go?
About a minute 45, maybe the last starter came out.
I mean, Tom Thibodeau coaching this team.
It seemed like it.
Like I need to know. When is it like, when do we get to a point? Like, I know for sure. Again, I always go, what would I do if I was, you know, in the media, if I was assigned to cover this? There's no doubt, like, I'm watching the walk-off interview here, which smiles and everything else. I guess it's not up to the player. You don't really go after the player. But when the coach goes to the podium, if somebody doesn't say to him, I know it's your MO, but, like, do we need to press? Like, do you need to go full-court press in the last 2 minutes up by almost 30?
You know, you're playing Iowa, South Carolina.
100%. South Carolina, LSU, you know, even you know, Iowa, you want to take Caitlin Clark out. Totally get it. You're playing Maine. I mean, these girls are like, you know, like they're just happy to be here. Like, am I crazy to think that, coach, that's a bit much. A little too much flex going on there. And it makes you unlikable. Like, who are they playing next? Whoever it is, I don't care. I'll root against them.
The winner of Duke-Richmond.
I'm rooting for Duke or Richmond. I am rooting for them.
Immediately.
See, like, L. Duncan, Rebecca Lobo, Andrea Carter, right? I wish, like, I could just say, guys, we should discuss this. We should discuss this. What the hell are you, full court press? Like, give me a break. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, that's your flex, is what we do. This Ohio State basketball, this is what we do. Full court press. It's a bit much, don't you think?
Garrett Wilson would be embarrassed.
I'm gonna talk to Garrett about it. Like, what are you? I'm gonna text him actually right now. Like, what? Like, seriously, this is the best you can do? You got a full court press up almost 30 in the first round. It's a bit much. Am I wrong? You can tell me. Like, are you being soft? Because look, running it up is a different story. You want to, like, hey, we want to stay in offensive rhythm. Because I always hate that. You go up big, and then your coach wants to be respectful, so he tells you, back it off, let's work the shot clock, no need. Whoa, coach, we're getting out of our game now. Like, let's stay in our game, rhythm. Like, just because they suck, just because they can't stop us, doesn't mean we should stop trying to score. Like, all right, last possession, okay, fine, we'll dribble out the clock. But I can't, like, if I got 10 minutes to go in the game, and I'm already up by 30, I can't just stop playing because, oh, we don't want to disrespect anybody. Right? It's like saying you can't, don't hit any more home runs. There's too many home runs. Hell no. I want to stay in rhythm. I want to stay locked in. But I don't need to play full court press defense. Like, who the hell? There's no player that wants to full court press, by the way. None of them. They don't want to do it. So why don't we save some legs? All right, we got this team. You know, we don't need to full court. Pick them a half court.
Good. I hope next game they're not hitting any of their jumpers because their legs are tired.
They're shot. And then even the players go like, well, I was a little tired. A little tired. Couldn't get our legs. It'd be great if the coach even said after the game that we couldn't get our legs under us. Yeah, I wonder why, coach. Full court pressing Maine in the first round.
I'm all for crushing your opponent's soul, but you don't need to vandalize the grave afterwards.
It's just bizarre. But hey, we're talking about women's college basketball. So maybe, you know, who's the real fool, right? Maybe it's exactly what they wanted. When I looked to see, like, who's the coach at Ohio State, and then I saw Ken McGruff. I'm like, oh yeah, fits. Big Ten Coach of the Year. Full court press. Gotta love it. 800-919-3776. Having fun with you here on a Friday. Brett Michaels coming to PNC Bank Arts Center on Friday, August 30th, and ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets. Enter to win at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Scroll down to contest, submit your entry. Brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Your calls and more coming up. We'll get back into the Knicks and what we saw off this trip. Injury updates, what Mitchell Robinson said about his potential return, and why is it so quiet around Julius Randle and how soon we might see him back this season. Lots more to get into. March Madness scores to catch up with you as well. The Shohei Ohtani stuff that you all want to talk about and I want to talk about with you. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. It was a move that got talked about a lot all offseason. And yesterday, finally, the Mets landing J.D. Martinez. Lots to like about the deal in terms of production. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave found something else they liked about it as well.
You know what the other thing I like about this is not just the production on the field, you know, put it behind Pete, the protection for Pete, the 33 home runs, the 103 RBI, is everything you hear about this guy and how he approaches his job. I was reading a quote, like how serious he is, how hard he grinds, because there's always been some kind of questions as to what the hell is happening inside that clubhouse. Maybe pointing to a lack of leadership. So you have a rookie manager, maybe there's some questions about leadership in that locker, in that clubhouse, and now you bring in a pro's pro that's going to approach every day like he's got like this unbelievable work ethic. Like, hopefully that's another positive that kind of rubs off on the rest of the team,
and
too.
And what's the downside, really? And you know what? If you play Vientos a little bit and he's red hot, then maybe you don't play J.D. Martinez.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.